Well, we're asking this question during Advent season, what do you need for Christmas? And we're asking this question, though, by turning the table around and asking God to fill in the blank. Lord, what do you say that we need for Christmas? And how does the coming of Christ meet that need? Well, last week we saw that we needed a Savior. And this week, as we not only celebrate Advent, but bring the Moses series to a close, we're going to look at the last part of Moses' life, because in this we see surfacing truly what another one of our great needs is, as God would define it. And it's, as actually one of the kids said in the video, we need a home. Let's look at this from Deuteronomy chapter 34, beginning at verse 1. Deuteronomy 34. Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, which is opposite Jericho. The Lord showed him all the land, Gilead as far as Dan, all Naphtali, the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the Negev and the plain, that is the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, as far as Zoar. And the Lord said to him, this is the land of which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to your offspring. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not go over there. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in the valley of the land of Moab, opposite Beit Peor. But no one knows the place of his burial to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was undimmed and his vigor unabated. And the people of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. Then the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. Well, who doesn't feel for Moses, right? This final scene of his life, he dies looking over into the promised land, but he's not allowed to go himself. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 3, we learn that Moses had been begging God to be able to go over and see the land. And the Lord responded this way, enough from you. Do not speak to me of this matter again. And then the Lord said, go up to Pisgah, look at the land before you die, but you will not cross over into it. Well, this longing for Moses to see the promised land and to be there, what is this longing? Well, the promised land is home. It's the place of rest, security, life with loved ones. It's the place where all is well. And Moses wanted to go over to go home. You know, this longing for home is in every one of us, and it is a deep longing. Home is such a huge part of really who we are as human beings that it infiltrates most of the stories that we know. Any of you kids seen Frozen 2 yet? Yeah, there you go. Well, it's a story of saving home. In that movie, Anna, Elsa, Kristoff, Olaf, and Sven, they have to leave their home in Arendelle, right? And they go to this magic forest, this ancient forest, and they're going to find the source of Elsa's power so that they can return and save their own home, their kingdom home. You know, if the stories of our day aren't about saving home, they're about finding home. And this is an ancient theme, as ancient as the Odyssey, of somebody who's lost far from home and is trying to get home. I regularly encounter residents at Highland Farms, the retirement community here in Black Mountain, who tell me that they can't come to Bible study because somebody's coming to bring them home. And they do not mean their room at Highland Farms. It's fascinating to me that when the mental filters fall down, there's still in the heart that longing for home. It's deep in us, and we feel it at Christmas too. We want our loved ones to be with us at this time of the year. One of the most popular songs for years of this season has been I'll Be Home for Christmas, written in 1943 for soldiers at war, and 40 words capture what we all feel. I'll be home for Christmas, you can plan on me. Please have snow and mistletoe and presents on the tree. Christmas Eve will find me where the love light gleams. Is that not what we want in our homes? With a love light gleams, I'll be home for Christmas if only in my dreams. You know, our longing for home is one of the deepest dreams in our lives. But here's the thing, it remains a dream, doesn't it? At least in this world. Because no matter how good our home life is here on earth, all earthly homes fall short of what we truly long for. You know, loved ones leave home. They move away or die. Family comes in for Christmas, and 4 days later, we're thinking, when will they leave? Parents are thinking, when does school start again? Even the best of our earthly homes, there's still that longing that haunts us that we haven't found that home that we're looking for. I think one of the ways that this longing for home manifests in kids is in the way they watch television. Have any of your moms or dads ever told you to move back from the television because you're too close? Yeah, my mom said that all the time. Richard, you're going to go blind. You're going to ruin your eyes. Move back. Move away from the TV. Well, why do kids sit so close? It's because they want in. They want to be part of something that's larger than anything they've experienced in this life. And you know what? We adults are the same. You don't watch your favorite movie on your cell phone. You get a big screen TV. And the big screen is more than just being able to see the picture. As C.S. Lewis has said, we are on the outside of the universe looking in. We're on the wrong side of the door. We look in, we want in, but we can't get in. That is our longing for a home. Well, the question is, why are we on the wrong side? The outside, looking in. Why are we there to begin with? Well, it has to do with our losing of home. See, we've lost our true home. You know, Moses wasn't the first to stand outside looking in. This started with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Because of sin, the Lord God sent them out of the garden. He drove them out, Genesis 3:24. And ever since the Garden of Eden, human history has been the story of our search for home, our looking for Eden, our trying to get back to the place we've lost. And understand the magnitude of what we lost with that home. It was far greater than, you know, having great digs and happy meals from all these fruit trees in the garden. Sin devastated us. It broke us individually, so that we're no longer at home with ourselves. You know, Adam and Eve make clothes for themselves because they knew that they were naked. And I always thought that's funny in the garden. Here they are, they know they're naked. Who's around to notice? You know, some giraffe looking over the bushes, you know? They knew within themselves, something is wrong with me, and I have to hide myself from you. And all our pride, our lying, our shame is just revealing that we are not at home with ourselves. Nor are we at home with others. Nobody has perfect relationships in home with friends, period. We just don't have those. We have good ones, but we don't have perfect, peaceful ones. Well, Adam and Eve, they're right at it. The perfect couple, right? And here they are blaming each other for their problems. And boy, have we ever perfected the blame game, haven't we? Personally, politically, internationally, we are quick to play the victim card. Adam and Eve were also no longer at home with their environment, with the natural world. Now housework, yard work, home maintenance became a chore, and not just to do it, but to pay for it. You know, thorns and thistles, and by the sweat of your brow, you shall work the earth. We are not at home with ourselves, with one another, with the earth. But the worst loss of all, the loss of home, was with God. You know, Genesis 3 talks about how God would come in the cool of the day when the sun had gone down and it's cooled off, and he would talk with Adam and Eve, face to face. But when they were kicked out of the garden, they lost that. His presence, and we lost the face of God. We lost looking at that face of love and acceptance and favor. You know, what is home? is that state of being where all is well with us and with others. It's living in a world that works, and all this before the face of God, knowing his love and his presence. That is the home we've lost, that is the home we long for, and that is the home we cannot fashion for ourselves in this world. Well, here's the reason then, and the joy of Christmas. God knows our need of home, and he does not stand back and leave us homeless. Christmas is all about coming home. God in human flesh comes to our home. Why? In order to bring us back into his home. And who should help us understand this but Moses? Now, although Moses dies here in Deuteronomy 34, we actually see him again in Scripture, and not just some reference back to him. But do you remember where we see Moses again? It's on the Mount of Transfiguration. Luke chapter 9, verse 30. Jesus brings Peter, James, and John, his three closest disciples, up on the mountain, and all of a sudden, Jesus is transformed. He's changed, kind of like those transformers that you see, you know, where you manipulate this and that, and the thing that it really is on the inside all of a sudden comes. Yeah, these kids know what I'm talking about. Well, that's what Jesus does. He changes, and the glory of who he is, God himself, begins to radiate, to shine out. His face shines, his clothes shine, and you know, Peter and the others are like, who is this? They're terrified. But then as Jesus is standing there, two other people appear on that mountaintop, Moses and Elijah, the prophets and the law testifying to Jesus. It's a tremendous picture here, but Moses is there. Now, understand, where is Moses at that point standing? He's in. He made it in, into the promised land. But far more important, he is standing before the promised one. And he's talking with Jesus about something very specific. Luke 9:31, we sometimes translate it, he was talking with him about his departure, but the word there is Exodus. Jesus is talking to Moses about his own Exodus. And it's going to be an Exodus far greater than anything Moses saw. Jesus is going to rescue us from more than political or economic slavery. He's going to rescue us from sin and death. Jesus is going to bring us into something far greater than the old Jerusalem of the promised land. He's going to bring us into the new Jerusalem in a new heavens and a new earth. See, Jesus opens the way home to God himself. And this is not some dream, because just as truly as Jesus Christ came in the flesh, died on the cross, rose from the dead, he will bring us home. Who is going to stop him? Amen. No one will. Preach it. My brothers and sisters, you have an eternal home in your future. And even now, although we're not there and we've never seen it, we know enough of God our Father that we can begin living out of that home, out of the love, the joy, and the acceptance of our Father for us. And when we're living out of that Father's home love, there's a power in that. And it's a power that can strengthen us in our current home situations that may be less than ideal. We're steadied by the home we're going to. And when we know the Father's home love, that also enables us to hold this home life very lightly. In fact, we can give away parts of our home for the advance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can even leave our home in service to others. Until a few years ago in the Philippines, in Manila, Christmas was celebrated by tens of thousands of people on a garbage dump, because that's where they lived. It was a city of shacks constructed out of what other people had thrown away. Children went out every morning to scavenge food out of other people's garbage so that they and their families could have something to eat that day. Christmas presents, if there were any, were what other people had discarded as rubbish. People were born, they grew up, they lived their entire lives and then died on that garbage dump without ever going to any other place, even into the city of Manila. But within that community, very interesting, there was a group of Christians. And some of them were from America. People who intentionally left their homes here to make their homes there on a garbage dump, in order to communicate to others the love of Jesus and the hope of a new home that we could have in Him. Now, why would they do such a thing? Why would they leave their home and go live on a garbage dump? It's because they knew that they had another home, an eternal one, and so do you. So do you. So do I. This is what God has given us in Christ. And Christmas is just the beginning of the celebration of this. You know, the Lord may not leave you to, or call you to leave your home and go live on a garbage dump, but He is calling us to use our homes as places of kingdom advancement. You know, this Christmas and beyond, what would it look like to give your home to the Lord? That He would turn it into an outpost for the advance of Jesus' mission to others, to spread the good news that the home we're all truly looking for can be found in Him. You know, perhaps this Christmas and this year ahead, God will call you to leave your home as a family for maybe one evening while you go serve others in the community together. Or maybe He'll call you as a family to go without something that you use to adorn your home life. And you instead save that money and you give to a special cause that honors Christ and serves others in His name. I don't know what God might call you to specifically, but I believe He's calling us to hold our homes loosely because we know we have an eternal home in Christ, and that home anchors us, and that home propels us to use this home here on earth in service to the glory of Jesus Christ, the one who came to our home and has made a way into His home. You have a home, Christian. You have a home. God has been so good to meet us in this deepest of our needs. Oh, let that work in and inform your home life. Amen.